Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Be Unique Radio's Manifest Monday Show. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton, and every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, we release a new episode to help you learn more about the power of manifesting. The more you listen, the more you'll learn. On the second Monday of each month, our sponsor, Jillian Harris, joins us. Visit her at theconsciouscougar.com and learn more about how she uses the power of color, energy, thought, emotions, and crystals to help her manifest and how she can help you learn how to manifest even better. Call 516-418-5651 on the second and fourth Mondays at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time when I am live with Jillian or possibly other guests. Be sure to follow Be Unique Radio on Blog Talk Radio or your other favorite platforms so you don't miss a single one of our most popular podcasts. Now let's get to today's topic.
Well, I think I need to change my intro, but that's okay. Good morning, everybody. I am here with Ina. You know my name. I'm Mary Brotherton, and it's okay. Ina is a spiritual healer and an artist in Brevard County. I've known her for several years, and I am delighted to have her in my bubble of energy today. It is so amazing. She specializes in working with women, and I can tell you she helped me connect on a very real level when I needed help so badly. It's amazing. Just one session with her was like mana from heaven almost. Welcome to the show, Ina.
Or is it Ina? Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really, really glad to be on.
I forgot to ask you, is it Ina or Ina?
Well, either way really is fine. I usually just kind of slide with Ina, but Ina is also a beautiful way to say it. Yeah.
Well, you know, it can be like my son when he was about 14 or 15. He had six or seven different nicknames. He said, I don't care what you call me. Just call me in time for eating.
That's how I feel, yeah. Yeah, I mean, things are always changing, including names, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm so glad to be on with you. And like you said, you know, for a few years now, and whether we're connected in the physical or not, you do feel like an old friend. So just there's always a sense of picking up right where you left off and just continuing on.
I know. And when I saw you back in, I think it was in November when I saw you, it was like, oh she's in my world again.
Yes. Yeah. And I had the dream about you the night before, and it was just I had goosebumps all over. So I mean, speaking of manifesting, it's like, what is that, you know?
Well, that's some pretty powerful manifesting, or fortuitous dreaming, or what do you call it, prescient dreaming. But
right.
You know, and that's all part of how we manifest the world that we want to live in, don't you think? We think of something, it crosses our mind, we dream about it. I mean, who can say why? We were talking before the show about mushrooms, adaptogens. You know, you and I both agree that raw mushrooms do not belong on a salad. However, a lot of people would disagree with that. I love chocolate cake. It's one of my... I'm not even going to call it a guilty pleasure. It's just one of the pleasures of life that I really enjoy. But don't give me banana bread. Don't give me banana cream pie. Don't give me banana pudding. I don't care for bananas. Why? I don't know. I mean, I could probably dig into something and find an answer for you. But who can say why one person wants to live on the beach, another person wants to live... talk about manifesting. This is so bizarre. From the time I was probably old enough to read, I learned that there was such a thing as tropical islands. Now, I grew up in South Carolina, or maybe I should say, I grew up in South Carolina.
South Carolina is more like Sakalaki
is what we called it back then. But I grew up in a rural area. I was surrounded by pine trees, an occasional oak, maybe a maple or something. But I mean, seriously, you walk out the door and it smelled like Christmas year round. It was pine tree. And I can remember from a very, very early age, I wanted to live on a tropical island. And really didn't think much about it, except I wanna, you know. So I was excited when I had opportunities to travel and go to places like Jamaica. Oy, yi, yi. I loved just everything about Jamaica when we visited. And 7 years ago, my husband and I bought a home here in Brevard County. And the first night that we had, you know, we had unpacked and everybody was gone, all the movers, my son and his friend. But the first night that we had the house to ourselves, we were walking around on the property. And I remember it was in April, and it was a balmy, balmy night. And I just remember standing there holding his hand and breathing and inhaling and, you know, taking it in. This was our first home together. We'd always rented for years. And I said, you know, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear we were at the beach. And he said, well, baby, we live on an island.
And there it is.
Yeah. And then, you know, I thought, well, you're right. We do. We live on Merritt Island. But to me, because of the way modern infrastructure is, you just drive across a causeway or drive across. Actually, for us, we have to drive across a drawbridge. If something happens, if something happens to both of the drawbridges, we're stuck either on the island or off the island. But then a couple days passed, and I was going across the causeway, and I had the windows down because it was another beautiful day. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, this is a tropical island. I have manifested what I've always dreamed of. But because I didn't mindfully manifest it, it took a little longer to get to it. More than
works, yeah.
I think it was probably 10 or 15 years ago. I, off the just the silliness of my brain, said one of these days I'm going to have a radio talk show, and you're going to be my guest. I said it. That was it. I didn't think about it again, ever. I just, boom, this is what I'm going to do. Because in that moment, that was what I thought I wanted to do. Now, look at me. 10 years later, I have this radio show. I don't have a radio studio per se. I have a studio in my home, my home office, which is, you know, the headquarters of Be Unique. And I invite people like you to come in and listen to me talk, because apparently I'm not going to shut up today. But I had this friend on, and she had since moved out of state, but I invited her to come talk on the show about her newest projects. And she said, I remember 10 years ago when you told me you were going to have me as a guest on your radio show, and look at what you've done. So my point is, if I can create these things in my life with just a whimsical thought, it is so much more powerful when you actually know what you're doing and you implement the ways of attracting things to your life. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and you know, it's interesting hearing your story. It really makes me think, well, sometimes it looks a little different, you know, than what we imagine. And even with the timing, you know, sometimes things aren't always on our specific timeline if we were to write it down on paper, you know, and structure it in our logical mind. But I think that the timing is perfect to our divinity, you know, whatever it is that our soul needs. And upon reflection, we can look back and say, actually, all of that was perfect.
Yeah. I think it was divine timing that you and I met when we did, because meeting you and having you work with me on my health issues started me on a different path from where I thought I was going. And those health issues, some of them are still lingering, but I've also learned that pain and discomfort can, if we allow it, be one of the greatest teachers. And I went through a situation in December where I was couch bound. And if I didn't have Jennifer as my friend, she came over a couple of days before Christmas and gifted me with a walker. And I thought, I'm not ready for this, but yet she'd seen me day in and day out doing Zooms and meetings and things from the couch. And she'd ask me, well, how are you doing? I said, oh, my feet are better today. I mean, I could not walk for a month. So she brought me a walker so that when I did walk, it wasn't as painful. And relinquishing my pride to my pain was one of the best things I could ever do.
I think that's one reason why pain is there. I mean, you know, it's certainly an indicator. It's kind of tapping on our door. Hey, we've got something to look at here, but let's be tender. You know, I'm here to teach and learn, right? And also it can wake us up to ourselves. And, you know, you have kind of two kinds of people. Some, and there's no judgment here. We all have been in both of these areas, but we'll take something to numb it out. You know, we can't handle it. Let's just numb it out. Let's sweep it under the rug. But we know it's still there, and it may come back raging the more we ignore it. So really, it's making the decision in your life to lean into the pain or lean into the discomfort and looking at the different ways that we do or do not do that. And I think that it might sound off topic, but it actually isn't, because everything's tied to how we live our lives, right? What we're calling in, what we're manifesting, each
thought. Absolutely.
Thoughts become things. Yeah. And the feelings are huge. Like, are we stuffing our feelings? Are we eating our emotions? Are we numbing them? Sweeping all the dust under the rug? Or are we really trying to be honest with ourselves and take a look at, you know, how our feelings are manifesting our reality? And, sometimes when we can lean into that discomfort, it can help propel forward a huge release, like a huge realization. It sounds like, you know, you've had, and I know you spent some serious solo time too, you know, let alone time on the couch. But, you know, after our session, I believe you went and did a little alone time. And I think that's
It was the best time. I learned so much. It was kind of interesting, because I remember that you suggested I take a spiritual fast and just go away for a couple of days. And I came home, and I thought about that all the way home on the drive, because the drive is over an hour from your house. And I talked to my husband, and I talked to myself, and I talked to Gus, you know, God, universe, spirit, source. I just talked, and I thought about it. And I said, you know what? I don't really want to spend the money to go away. So I talked to Curtis, my husband, and I said, I want you to do something for me. I said, we've got two options here. I'm taking a 4-day weekend off. He said, what does that mean? I said, well, it can mean a couple $100, maybe $1,000, depending on where I go, or it could just mean a little inconvenience for you. He said, tell me more. I said, I'm taking over the guest room. I'm going to live in the guest room for 4 days. And that means I will not cook for you. I will not fetch for you. I will not help you find anything. Just consider that I'm not home, but consider that I'm saving you some money. And you're going to be my room service. And he asked me why. So I told him a little bit about our session. And he said, I can do that. I can make that happen for you. So I gathered up all the things that I would have taken with me to a resort somewhere. And I went into this bedroom and I just stayed in there and I prayed and I fasted. I ate a little bit, but I can subsist off of tea for a long time. but I had the most amazing stuff happen to me in that room. And I met another angel. I know the names of many of my angels that surround me. But that in that room on that retreat was where I met Raquel. And he's just one of the most laid back individuals you've ever met. But it was perfect for me. Taught me so many things that I thought I knew about myself, but I didn't understand.
And all of that in your, yeah, in the comfort of your own guest room. You didn't even have to go to some extravagant retreat. You know,
exactly.
I think that what you're doing is you're pointing out to any listeners or people who will hear this in the future that we often create our own barriers. We overcomplicate things. Well, if I want this, I have to do this, this, and this. Maybe it's about taking a step back and simplifying. What do you have at your disposal? And yes, often that's some communication with roommates or a partner or whoever you live with, you know, that your husband in this case. And, hey, can you give me a little space? Maybe slip a cracker under the door once in a while. And, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
And, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, you really had a beautiful experience. And knowing that you can take that anytime that you need. And I just feel that there's too much noise in our world. And we really need to find ways to reconnect to our silence, especially if we're talking manifestation, if we're talking, you know, what do we want? What do we really want? Who are we? Who are we not?
Yeah.
We have to get quiet and force ourselves to kind of just sit in the corner, and the less distractions we have, the more that we can lean into
and
some of these feelings.
Because I chose to do my retreat at home, I was able to just turn my phone off. I didn't have to worry about, oh, I need to carry this electronic leash with me in case something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, nothing happened. We have a caller. Would you like for me to see who it is?
Sure.
Hello there.
Oh, hey, hello. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. I am well. My name is Tim from New York. I'm just calling.
Hi, Tim. I know you usually call on our transformational days, don't you?
That's correct. Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes. You know, I'm just working. So I call in, just listen to anything in regards to just, you know, law of attraction,
okay,
spirituality. I'm
yep.
trying to take it serious and bring some new great things to me.
Have you got a specific question about the law of attraction or manifesting?
I got a specific question about manifesting.
Okay.
So everyone tells me that obviously you have to see it, try to imagine it, you know, what you want to bring to you. I'm trying to get a new job, but I'm not exactly sure doing what or where I want to go. I'm trying to pivot to something else. So I don't have the specific part. I'm knowing exactly what I want to do. I don't need it. Then what should I do? I was told that I should focus on how I would like the job to feel, or how I would like to feel if I had a new, better job. Is that?
Well, let me ask you this, Tim. If
mm-hmm.
money was not an object, if you could do anything at all with your time, all day long, what would you do?
I'd probably be trying to write something, a story.
Okay.
Either something funny or something, trying to use my creative talent to try to pivot to something of that nature.
All right, I want to ask
people.
You to do me a favor. A couple of words I'd like for you to remove from your vocabulary. Stop trying.
Okay.
As Yoda says, there is
yeah.
no try. There is do or do not. And stop thinking in probabilities. when you manifest, you need to be in the present moment. Be always thinking of, this is already mine. So if your ideal job is writing, you can get a job writing. You can get lots of jobs as writers. Be Unique has, we don't hire writers right now because we're a nonprofit and we don't have the option to pay anybody. But in fact, Ina, I keep wanting to call you Ina. I'm sorry, Ina. She has written for us in the past, and we have lots of writers who come from all over the world, and they kind of get their feet wet and get a feel for what it's like to be published through donating something, you know, their time and their talent. And I work with them and mentor them. And so there are options to get you started on writing. There are ways to get paid through writing. And one of the ways that I would recommend this for, if I was in your situation, I would just start by saying, I'm grateful that I love to write. Thank you, God, Spirit, Universe, for providing me the skills and the desire to reach the world through my words. I'm grateful that I've received this job that pays me to write. And you can get paid to write technical writing, poetry, all kinds of, you know, novelists don't get paid a lot of money unless they're, you know, Tom Clancy, but that's the rare exception to the rule.
Gotcha.
There's always children's books.
Yes.
Writing, lots of freelance writing opportunities on the internet now if you just want to work remotely and, you know, kind of build your portfolio. But yeah, feel okay. Good first. Get out of the head and into the heart.
Gotcha. Oh, well, thank you. You guys gave me some tremendous information. I really appreciate it. I will keep working.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You so much.
And always be thinking of what you are doing instead of what you want to do. Or what you can, you know, maybe take off the maybe one day if I feel like it, I'm going to. You know, just start calling yourself a writer. If that's where your passion is, start calling yourself a writer, and you're going to find if this is where the universe is taking you, then you're going to start seeing ads for writer's jobs. You're going to start seeing requests for content providers. And always think, you know, you're a writer, so that means you've got a vocabulary. That means that a writing job is not necessarily going to look like a writing job. It may be, I need help with my thesis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of money in that. I've edited for thesis writers. And a lot of people need help with the actual writing parts. You'd be surprised what kind of jobs are out there, Tim.
Oh, yeah, resume
okay.
writing,
okay.
too. That's a huge one.
Yes.
Resume editing, resume writing, and coaching, yeah.
Yeah, about every
Got
4 years,
Thank
my son
so
sends me a bullet list. He says, here's my resume, Mom. Make it.
Okay, got it. Thank you so very much. Have a great
You're
birthday.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Of course. Thank you. Bye.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and mute. Oh, I thought he was going to stay and listen, but that's okay. Sometimes I like to mute them.
Good day today. Good day today.
Yes, yes. He feels like
excitement generating.
Yes, he's called us before when we have a spiritual reader on, and he's always very enthusiastic and bubbling with positivity. Usually
yeah,
have just one or two
that.
Little questions.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you said about get out of your head. You know, just live in the heart. That's where the manifesting is because, you know, who can say what we're supposed to want? We all want different things, and that's why there are so many different things available.
Right. You might like banana bread in 4 years. 4 years from now, things are always changing, right?
You know, That's so accurate because I have found that when I manifest item A, I no longer want item B. I used to want worse than anything. Oh, gosh, for probably 20 years, I wanted to go to Spain. I really did. I thought that my life would be perfect if I just went to Spain. So I did everything I could. I tried saving money. I got an exchange student from Spain. I started learning Spanish. I every time I'd find a book, especially a dictionary, if it was Spanish English, I'd buy it. And my ex-husband decided that he wanted to give me something special for our 25th wedding anniversary, and he took me to Mexico. And I said, you know, for a dollar more, we could have gone to Spain. He said, They speak Spanish here too. I said, it's not the same. It's just not the same. It's not what I wanted. And that was kind of when I realized after 25 years that almost with him was never going to be what I needed in my life. Because that was the story of my life. If I said I wanted a bottle of water, he'd bring me a can of Coke. If I said I wanted a cup of tea, he'd bring me water in a tea bag, maybe. So after 25 years, 6 months after, I said, you know what? This is it. I'm done. And I left, and my life has just taken on this magical element. I no longer want to go to Spain. I wouldn't mind going to Spain, but it's not like an obsession with me. I've sold or given away all of my Spanish dictionaries, and I just no longer have this compulsion because I've manifested other things in my life that have taken precedence. My dreams have changed, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, and they do. They do shift. I think that we evolved so much, you know, along the way. I agree. I no longer want some of the things that I used to want. I think that, you know, when we can land in our heart a little more and really get in tune to listening to our bodies, too, we can know better, you know, like, my stomach had a response to that. Maybe my ego kind of wants that, or my personality wants that, which is, again, always shifting and changing, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're human. We have that aspect. But, you know, maybe that's not what we're really here for. And so how things shift and look differently, it kind of propels me into thinking of the story, and I think that you'll appreciate this one. When I was younger, you know, I thought, well, I'm gonna try out living in New York, and I really am interested in the performing arts, always have been, and I really think that I'm going to be an actress. And it was a fine idea to have, but a friend of mine said, you really need to see this psychic. She's really gifted, intuitive, tarot cards, you know, let's just see what the cards have to say. And so I was open to it, and I went, and I told her, I said, you know, I really want to explore an acting career in this big city. She said, well, let's see what the cards have to say. And they pulled up, the healing card came up, the healer card. And then I said, well, let's look into this again. And we rotated through during, you know, the session, and each time the healer card came up. And she said, you can pursue acting, but at some level you're selling yourself short. Because even if you pursue that, this is where you're probably headed. And I was very resistant, actually, at the time, because I thought I was so attached to, well, but this is the thing that I want. But it didn't matter. The point is it didn't really matter, because this idea that I thought I wanted at the time, I followed that, and that path led me to other branches. It led me to other areas that actually were much more suited for my soul. And it all played out perfectly, but I couldn't have necessarily known that at the time. So sometimes because it actually leads us to something even better or more meant for us, and it's just about that journey along the way. So that's, yeah, that's always something that makes me chuckle when I think back on that.
And you know, you might still dabble in performing and you might be able to incorporate that in with your healing. Just like I don't know. I always thought that I'd be some kind of medical practitioner. When I was 18, I thought I wanted to be a chiropractor. When I was younger, I wanted to be, I think every little girl wants to be a veterinarian. But, you know, we all have different ideas of what is the best life for us. Never in my wildest dreams did I think, okay, when I'm old enough to retire, I'm going to start a new business, and it's going to be a nonprofit charitable business, and I'm going to be just, I don't even know what I am sometimes. I am the Mary. There are so many hats that I wear, so many things that I have to do that on a given day, I don't know if I'm editor or podcaster or fundraiser, but never did I think that I would be so fulfilled doing what I do. And there's a point in your life when you go, oh yeah, this is my purpose here. And I'm sure that's how you felt when you fully got into your healing.
Yeah, there was a transformation and new realization. And also, you know, kind of to what you said, you can blend, absolutely blend different modalities. You'd be surprised just even talking to the gentleman that called in, you know, so many different types of writer, so many different needs and how you can even incorporate and build on that. And, you know, being open, but listening to the signs and following the path of least resistance. You know, what doors seem to just be opening? What people are you accidentally meeting? I mean, big cities are great, right? Because you're always out, you're walking or you're riding the subway and you just meet people. They're out there. Not everybody's head is down on their phone. You know, you can have human contact, and that's part of it, is being awake to the world. Put your phone away and, you know, look up. Who are you going to run into today? What are you going to see? What sign are you going to see? I think really be awake to the world. You'll get some signs.
You know, it's so true. And I think I'm a prime example of that. Years and years ago, it's so weird. I don't feel as old as I sound because I've got so many things that happened so far in my past. It seems crazy, but I can remember going to church. There was a woman named Margie, and I knew her. I knew where she sat. We all had our semi-designated seats. Everybody chose the same seat every time. She was just one row in front or behind me. I don't remember now, but I knew her. I knew who she was. She had kids a little older than mine, and that was it. We were church people together. We weren't friends. We were just church people. And I remember one day a mutual friend of ours had moved away, moved out of state. And no big deal. This, like I said, it was many years ago. We had no cell phones. Everything was long distance where you had to pay extra for the phone call. But I remember getting up one morning thinking, I should call Margie. And immediately I said, why? And I went on about my day. Well, this happened for 2 weeks every day. And some days it was happened more frequently throughout the day. I need to call Margie. And I would instantly talk myself out of it because I had nothing in common with this woman. I had no reason to call her. Why would I just call and say, hey, you popped into my head. I've been thinking about you. I thought I'd give you a call because I was too dumb at that point to understand what I was doing or what was being done to me. So our mutual friend called me up from out of state, and first thing I thought was, is everything okay? You never call. And she said, yeah, everything's fine. You need to call Margie. I said, what? Why would you say that? She said, you need to call Margie. And I said, well, I've been thinking about calling her for a couple of weeks now, but I don't know what I would say. She said, start with hello. I said, but why would you even tell me to do this? She said, because God said you're too damn stubborn to listen to him. He thought maybe I could get through to you. Now, how bizarre is that? You know, you think about that. This woman is way that. She was, I think, 1,800 miles away on the other side of the country. And for her to get a message from God that said, Mary is ignoring me, well, that helped me tune in to what the voice of God sounds like. And when, you know, and I tell people all the time, if you get, another friend of mine, she and I share flowers. I love daffodils. She loves pink roses. And so we seem to find, if I see a lot of pink roses, I know she needs me to call her. If she sees a lot of daffodils, she knows I could use a booster shot of her, you know, attention. And so I called Margie and it started a wonderful friendship. But I never realized that if somebody pops into your head, there's a reason for it. It's not as random as you think it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are so many signs and messages out there that you can spend your life looking for the signs, or you can just sit back. And in fact, I was talking to someone about numbers. I'd been seeing a lot of repetitive numbers. And it's strange. It's usually like instead of 11:11, like a lot of people see, I'll see 11:33. But then it'll go all day long. You know, I might see the clock and it's 1:33. A little later, it'll be 4:33. Just as strange stuff happens. And I had mentioned this to my friend, and she said, yeah, I used to see the numbers all the time, too. I'm going to have to start looking for those. And I told her she didn't have to look for them, that if the numbers are speaking to her, they're going to come quickly, and she won't even realize it, but they are going to be there. Acknowledge them when you see them, but don't go deliberately looking for them is my thinking.
Yeah, that's in line with the get out of your head, like too much thinking, too much searching or pushing. We don't want to have to push when we're creating, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Antenna, you know.
Unless you're creating with a tube of paint that's almost dry, then you push and you push and you squeeze. But other than that, you know, you really want it to be as natural as possible.
Very much when we talk about, you know, feminine energy and masculine energy, both are beautiful and necessary. But sometimes, you know, especially working with women, it's how can we get in our creative zone, our creative state, that flow, that everything comes to me. Yes, we meet the world halfway, right? We have to put down our phone and open up our eyes. But we're not grabbing, we're not pushing, we're not doing too much of that. Being in that flow state, feeling good first. But that's interesting. Your story reminds me of something that I need to put my attention on, because in the last few weeks I've had 3 dreams, very intense dreams about an old girlfriend of mine who I haven't talked to in many years, but 3 in a row, very intense emotional dreams about her. And I know I need to reach out to her. I need to go back and find her email and just see how she's doing. So thanks for sharing that, because you just kind of reminded me, I need to do that.
Yeah.
Something's up.
When you get those dreams, and it can come very, very subtly as just a fleeting thought. Or, you know, you might see a color that reminds you of someone. You might be walking down the street and you smell a bakery or a candy shop or a perfume shop, whatever. Or, you know, somebody forgot to clean up after their dog. But a scent, an aroma will remind you of someone. I was going to another healer over in Winter Park. I have to stop and think which one's which. Anyway, in Orlando. And I remember crossing Turkey Lake. Just crossing over the bridge, I saw the sign, Turkey Lake, and I smelled juicy fruit gum. And immediately I thought of my deceased grandmother. And I kind of dismissed it because I'm still grappling with my abilities and the gifts that I've been given. I tend to be more, I don't even know what the word is. I know stuff. I don't receive messages per se, like a lot of intuitives do, but I just know things. And I don't know how I know them. It's like I have this knowledge, almost as if someone opened up my brain and said, here's some more knowledge for you. You just know this stuff, and it doesn't matter where it comes from. Just know that you know it. Like, I know how to multiply my, you know, I go all the way up to my 11th table. Like, when I get to 12, I just kind of draw a blank. But I can add and subtract and multiply and divide in my head without thinking twice about it. But
that's a gift.
It is a gift. I used to think that I hated math, and my mother explained to me that you don't hate math. You're actually very good at it. What you don't like is seeing numbers used as sentences. In other words, algebra.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to my appointment, and I just, first thing out of my mouth was, I had the strangest sensation as I was driving over Turkey Lake. And she asked me what it was, and I said, I smell juicy fruit gum. And my windows were up, so it wasn't like there was a truckload of juicy fruit gum anywhere. And because she has embraced her gift completely, she just, oh, that's your grandmother. So how would you know that?
Claire Gustin, right?
What was that?
Claire Gustin, right? Isn't that, I suppose, the term for you're psychically smelling.
Yes. Yeah.
Your smells have an actual, that's a communication.
And a couple of times later after that, I was driving across and I smelled coffee and cigarettes. No question about it, it was my father. And, you know, because she told me that's what I was doing, was I was receiving messages through my nose, basically. It happened for a while. It always was on Turkey Lake for some reason. And then it stopped happening. I don't know. I thought, last night I thought I was being visited by someone. I was sitting at the dining table working on my calendar, and the light started flickering. So I immediately said, well, hello. I'd love to know what your name is. You know, if you've got a message for me, let's talk. You know, flickering light. Woo. And my husband came in, and he goes, oh, there's that damn switch flickering again. And he said, I got to replace that one day. I'm like, no. Tell me it's mechanical.
Two different schools of thought there.
Yeah. I said, don't tell me it's mechanical. I want to believe it's spiritual.
And that's two people having two totally separate experiences in the same moment with the same thing happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, I like chocolate cake. I like pecan pie, you know.
Yeah,
but life is still happening here in front of us. It's how you interpret the signs. And they are meant differently for different people, you know. So the two of you sound like you could have your own show, your own book.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I could get him to come and play with me on the radio show sometimes. He's really good.
Oh, we'll get him.
He's an engineer. And one of my youngest son has a podcast. And he and I think four other people. But they invited both of us to come on their show at different times. And at the end of my show, they said, no offense, Miss Mary, but we really like talking to that NASA guy. Can you get him to come back on? I'm like, man. But, Curtis is very connected as well. We call ourselves the Wonder Twins. It was a cartoon back in the 80s, I think, called the Wonder Twins, and they had it was a boy and a girl, and they had rings, and they would touch the rings and say, Wonder Twins, activate. And they would take on the forms or shape that one of them would say, the form of a mountain. and the other one say the shape of a waterfall or whatever. But they would combine their powers to create some kind of change in the world. And he and I do that. And sometimes we'll just look at each other and say, activate. And because we know that we need to manifest something precise in our world, and we do it. Our cat is a prime example of manifesting. When we got married, I was, oh, I still am, older than him. But I was old enough. When I met him, my kids were older teenagers, and his kid was 6. So Richard was 21, Matt was 19. And my childbearing days were long behind me, I hoped. And then when I met Curtis, we decided to get married. He said, can you still have babies? I'd like to have a baby with you. I'm like, let me go talk to the doctor. I don't know. So I went and talked to the doctor. Curtis went with me. And we sat there and I asked the doctor, and he said, well, are you still, ovulating? I said, yeah, like a calendar, just every 28 days. He said, well, then you can have a baby. He said, but you're 50. If you have this baby at your age, he said, I can do everything in my power to keep you healthy and keep the baby healthy, and you'll have a good delivery. He said, but I'm promising you, you'll be in my office every other week with some other kind of female problem. He said, you really don't want to put your body through that right now. Mm-hmm. So Curtis looked at me, he said, okay, let's get a cat. And I thought, how did we jump from a baby to a cat?
To a cat. So, next best alternative.
Yeah. So on the way home, we talked about it. He says, all right, now, this is what I want. I want an orange cat. He needs to be at least a year old, already have all of his shots and vaccines, and, you know, just be ready to pick up and go. I want him to be vocal. I want him to have at least one white paw. And I said, okay, well, good luck with all that list.
A couple weeks
later, I saw this picture of a cat that someone was trying to give away because the cat was young. It was a year old. And she had some 20-year-old cats in her house that just couldn't stand him anymore. And he's orange. He's actually sitting on my desk right now. He's 18 years old now. But normally he's very vocal. Right now he's kind of chill. He has not one, but 4 white paws. He's everything that Curtis suggested we should have. And we weren't actively manifesting back then. Now, I don't know why we don't manifest more often, because we can. I need to manifest the housekeeper. I forget to do that all the time.
I'd
she
like
usually
that
turns
too.
Into me. Well, Curtis and I laugh because sometimes I'll say, oh, that damned wife of yours dropped by today. She has me really, she worked me really hard. But I am my own housekeeper because I like doing my own housework. But there are times
that's a great time to, maybe that's a great time to manifest when we're just, we've got the dust rag and we're just making circles on the counter and we're in that kind of meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you wandering to? You know, maybe put on some music and feel good, start dancing, and then, ooh, hey, I'd kind of like this, and grab your partner, you know, or a best friend, or sometimes doing it together is even more powerful. What can we create together? That's fun. And I guess part of it is just have fun with it.
Be Unique has what we call creative days. We try to do it at least once a month, sometimes more often, and sometimes we might go 2 or 3 months before we get together again. But we gather at different people's houses and just make stuff. Usually, sometimes we bring equipment, and sometimes we just borrow what's there. And there's so much magic in that physical creation. Because while we're physically creating something, we're also emotionally creating. We're creating a bond. We've had one man join us on occasions, but mostly it's women that join us. And we create this female bond, but we're also creating physical goods that we can then turn into cash for the organization. And it's just, it's gone beyond my wildest dreams. It really has. And to think that Be Unique started, Be Unique started because two grumpy old ladies got together for lunch and started thinking, we've got to have a better life than what we've got right now. We were both very unhappy with our freelance work because of the people that we had been attracting into our lives at that point. Because at that point, we were not conscious creators. Now we're much more conscious about what we're manifesting, even down to the people that join our organization. We have put it out there to the universe that we only attract the people that have like minds and like spirits. And so it happens every time we turn around, there's somebody else saying, hey, can I join your circle of friends? I want to be a part of what you're doing. And it feels so good that it makes it even better for the next person to join.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all chasing it back to the grumpiness. The grumpiness led you to something better. You know, that lunch you had. It's like that contrast is interesting. Okay, I know what that feels like. And that has its purpose. I'm not going to resist it, but, ooh, this feels a lot better. And let's kind of lead into that. And you start attracting all these wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
And get excited about that idea and that creativity. I know the two of you have every day. And, you just kind of meet people and you know, you're perfect for this role, or that's more my kind of person.
Yeah, it's really fascinating when you think about, we could have sat there, you know, we went to lunch because we had spent like 3 days calling each. One would call, you know, I'd call Jennifer or she'd call me or vice versa, you know. And this was happening day after day after day. Oh, I can't believe what she just did to me. Oh, I can't believe what he just said to me. Ah, blah, blah. And it was becoming a circle of grief. And I don't remember exactly who said what or how it happened, but one of us said, let's just go to lunch and get all this out on the table and stop this cycle. And that's what we did. And part of it was because we knew that she had a unique skill for design and I had a unique skill for not only writing but editing. And we said, what more do you need? We're both photographers. So we could create the magazine that we wanted. And we created the magazine that we wanted, and it took off a life of its own and has become so much more.
Yeah, so imagine 5 years from now even. That's exciting to think. You could have a whole new layer to this that you currently haven't even thought of or felt into yet.
Well, when we started, we thought it was just going to be a digital magazine, plain and simple. And now it's a production organization. You know, we've got a production company that does films and audio. We have the radio show, and we have the magazine. But we have two magazines now. We have the one that is a global magazine and one that is specific to Brevard County. And it just blows my mind how far we're reaching and how many people's lives are changing as a result. Since 2018, we have given away free marketing to over 150 nonprofits, I think it is. I know it's like 300 of the writers and authors, artists, musicians, nonprofits, all of that together is over 300. And
that number is just growing.
Yeah. And that started because when we started to do the magazine, the idea was just to do a regular magazine and do it like everybody else does, sell ads and occasionally have a nice story in there, nice feel-good story. But we were just going to follow along with what everybody else was doing. And then we realized we couldn't – we said that we wanted to have a philanthropy out aspect to it. You know, we'll give 10%, 5%, whatever. Give a couple dollars to a nonprofit somewhere. We could not decide, after we narrowed the field down to 150, we could not decide which nonprofit or in what order we would give to all of those 150. And so I was telling Curtis about it. He said, why don't you become a nonprofit? I said, oh, that's easy for you to say. He said, it might be easy for you to do. Find out. And so I did. And we just, it has grown and grown and grown. And now that I know more about how to manifest, it blows my mind because I realize that what we've done is nothing short of what we put in our business plan. We manifested it without even realizing it.
And would you say part of that is because the two of you, you know, not every day is perfect, right? There's going to be some tougher days, but overall you're having fun with it.
Absolutely.
There's a certain kind of energy signature to almost everything that you're doing.
Yeah. And we say that when it stops being fun, we have to quit.
It's a sign. It's a signal. Time to move on to something else that's calling you.
Exactly. I mean, there are days like, you know, filling out the tax form. In fact, this year, the taxes were a little more complicated, so I had to use a different form. And I wasn't particularly comfortable with it. So I sent it out to the board, and I asked if they would please review and make sure that it was right. Well, a few people just looked at it and said, oh, that's a lot of numbers. Yeah, it looks good to me. But Jennifer's husband, Bob, said, let me dig into that a little bit. And so he did. And so he called me. He said, did you really make this much money last year? I said, well, that's the donations and the in-kind donations of goods. I don't think you have to count the goods. I think you just have to count the money. I said, I don't know. So he did the research that I should have done. I thought I had done, but I guess I didn't do it right. But he found out that, no, we don't have to, you know, the IRS only wants to know how much money you're making. They don't care about the goods until you sell them. Then that's more money. So when it translates into hard cash, then they're ready to talk to, about those numbers. And that totally changed our bottom line. And that makes, you know, all of that makes a difference when you're doing your reporting. But it's just amazing how people you think aren't paying attention really are. So let me ask you, since we are supposed to be talking about manifesting, what is your process when you want to manifest something into your life or out of your life even?
Because there's that one too. Yeah, you know, it's shifted over time. I think that as time goes on, the older I get, the less that I know. I always kind of say, like, I this last year, it's like, I know nothing. I know nothing anymore because the way that things happen are always changing. And even like this mainstream idea that is kind of out there of manifestation, I suppose I question everything too. So that leads me back to my body. And really often it's, ooh, how does that feel? Because I feel a lot. So for me, you know, this may not work for somebody else, but for me, I lean into how is this feeling in my body? How am I responding to this idea or this person or this opportunity? Does it feel really good? Does it feel light? So I kind of seek out through feeling the open doors, the path of least resistance. Just that light feeling. And I find that if I say yes to that, then I know in my heart there's going to be another sign, another crumb along the way. Oh, yeah. A week later, this thing popped up, and that's related to that. So that's a sign you know, I'm on the right direction. I'm on the right path at this time. Also, dreams have been huge in my life. That's a consistent one. If I have a certain dream that leaves me with a particular feeling that is so real, it's different than what I call, you know, just a regular every day or every night dream. This is something different. It leaves me with a certain impression or a certain feeling. I pay attention to that. And maybe it's an environment. Maybe it's like I had a sense of being in this really beautiful kind of tropical retreat environment. And I can catch that wave and kind of feel, you know, maybe there's a trip coming my way soon where I'm going to meet someone very important. And maybe it is a tropical environment. And so we can say, like, what came first, the chicken or egg? You know, this is all tied in and connected. But I'll know that environment when I'm in it. And some people call that deja vu. There's different ways of labeling it or looking at it, but
yeah,
right. There is something familiar about
deja vu, though, because I know that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, deep. Some people would just call it a psychic impression that is now, you know, manifesting. It's being realized into your life, something that is that because it's already written? You know, that's the big question. The big things in our life, is it already mapped out in the stars? And no matter what we do, we're going to end up there. So, and maybe there's no right or wrong answer to any of it. It's all in how you're experiencing your life, you know, as the creator of your experience. And I learn more and more each day about it, and how I show up for myself and kind of create has changed, and it's continuously changing, I feel. But right now, that's really, really paying attention to the signals that the body is giving. Even when you meet someone, there's just a lightness. There's a lightness to knowing you. There are certain people I meet that there's a heaviness, static,
yeah.
A kind of,
and
yeah.
And something that I like you said earlier, everything in the perfect time. I am a strong proponent of divine time. Although when I was doing my spiritual fast and I met Raquel, he told me to stop focusing on divine timing. But I don't know what else to call it because of the fact that I was so young when I got married the first time and did not know the things that I know now, which I guess that's part of life. You're supposed to live and learn, as they say. But there still is a certain heaviness to that man. In fact, I was talking to my 16-year-old grandson not long ago about a topic, and I said, well, what does your papa think about it? He goes, oh, no. We don't talk to papa about things like that. I said, why not? He said, because papa just doesn't get it. I'm like, okay, well. But I agree, there's a lightness to certain people and the moment that you meet them, I was in love with you before I met you in person. And then when I met you in person, it was like love at second sight. You know, I loved your writing and I loved your thought process. But then I met you and I was like, oh, she's even better in person. And then when I met you, you know, I saw you again in last November. It was like, I felt like my soul just sighed. Like, oh, okay, I haven't lost her. You know, because I had lost contact with you for a while because of the email change up. And I wasn't really sure what had happened, where you went, or if you were just kind of like ghosting me. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I've been ghosted by better people. but there's a sense, and when I met my current husband, Curtis, it wasn't long after I had left my first husband. And it was one of those situations where I met him online, not in a dating app, but just in a random forum type thing. And we felt the connection, both of us. And so we just talked online for several months. And then finally, he suggested that I should meet him in person. Now, this was in more than 20 years ago, because we started our life in Atlanta in 2000. But I remember telling my son, you know, that fool I've been talking to in Florida, he wants me to meet him in person. And he said, well, Mama, you should. He said, I see the way your face lights up when you talk to him on the phone. And it's almost as bad when you're on the computer just chatting with him. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. You're just not supposed to go around meeting up with people you talk to on the internet. Don't you know that, son? He said, Mom, you're right. You really shouldn't go meet this guy because, you know, there's a lot of people on the internet that are just like you. And I...
Ding, ding, ding.
Myself, you know, that's... he's not a babe anymore, but still, from the mouth of babes, you just learn from your kids, because he was right. Who was I to assume this guy was out for nefarious reasons? So I said, well, come with me. He goes, nope, you have to do this on your own, little girl. That's a whole other show. Yeah. I can get in with my son.
Kids are the teachers, yeah.
He and I have a very special relationship. It's different from the very special relationship I have with his brother. But I did meet him, and I told Matt, I said, but what if something happens? He said, if something happens, I'll be there in a heartbeat. I said, how do you propose to do that? This was, again, before cell phones were common. And they existed, but they were not common. He said, I'll know. I said, and how will you find me? I said, let me give you the address where I'll meet him. He said, I don't need that. He said, Mom, you're going to be fine. And if you're not, then he find your body. I'll come to your funeral. I said, gee, where's your son? You know, he says it as a joke, but he was halfway serious, basically saying, you know, our lives are not necessarily preordained, but yet there's only so much we can do. I'm not going to worry about something I can't control.
Right. So he felt he had his own sense that this is going to be okay.
Oh, he's very, very in tune and always has been. Actually, both of my kids.
Kids are.
Both of them. Matt kept his, you know, how after a while kids lose that connection to the spirit world. Matt kept his. He still has it. Richard has shoved his down for many reasons. But Matt and I talked about it, and I decided I would trust my son if I couldn't trust myself. And I went and I met Curtis. And before, when I saw him driving around the corner, I got to this little, we went to, met a Checkers, I guess, Crystal's hamburger place. And we stayed in the parking lot for 2.5 hours just talking before we went our separate ways. We talked through lunch, basically, because we were just supposed to meet for lunch and see if there was a connection. Well, there was a strong connection. When I saw him drive around the corner, it looked to me like his car was not on fire, but in a spotlight. And then when he got out of the car, I thought, oh my gosh, where is this illumination coming from? And he said the same thing about me. And we didn't talk about that for a while, but after we'd been together, we started talking about that day that we first met. And he said the same thing. He said, there was just such a glow coming from you. I couldn't not meet you. And it scared me. I mean, it was such a powerful connection, something I'd never had before. And I think he and I saw each other in person again about 3 months later. And then after that, I said, I don't know if I can do this. It's just really, it's frightening to get what you want sometimes.
Yeah, it can be scary.
Yeah. When you've never had someone love you without conditions, and then you find that, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so what I did is I took 3 months, didn't plan to take 3 months off. I was joking about people ghosting, but I didn't even know that was a term at the time, but I ghosted him. I quit responding to his emails. I didn't go on the site that we used to go on to chat. I didn't answer his phone calls. I just said no. And then one day I said, I did a lot of praying and a lot of meditating, a lot of contemplation, and everything kept pointing back to him. And so I called him up and I said, hey, could we start over? And he said, well, yeah, but, you've been gone a while and I've kind of moved on. I hadn't heard from you. I figured you just weren't ready for me or didn't like the age difference or something. And I said, no, I just needed to really think it through. You came into my life too soon after my divorce, and I really felt like I needed to be fair to you. And he said, well, I got somebody else in my life right now. I'm going to have to call it off before you and I can resume this conversation. And I said, okay. Well, I figured he was going to be a week or 2 weeks at the most, 20 minutes later, he called me back. He says, okay, it's over.
If something is meant for you, it will resurface. It will come back into your circle, your field, whether it's 20 minutes later or 1 year later.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really and truly what manifesting is all about. It's that feeling of, does this work for me? How does this make me feel? And when you determine that, yes, this is something I like, you can have it. It's going to happen faster and faster and be more amazing than you ever dreamed of.
And I think it's about being brave, too, because you brought up a great point that sometimes we have a fear of losing what we're going to call in, right? So I might love this thing so much. Like, what if something bad happens, or what if I lose it? But I think that we're invited to really receive the positivity. It also calls in certain triggers, maybe. Okay, let's look at that. Like, what is that worry or that fear? So there's lessons in it too. This is a good thing. It feels good. Oof. But if there's any resistance, that's inviting you to look at yourself. Like, there's something in there to be healed.
I know that you.
So sometimes the good things are really uncomfortable too, but you have to know what is unhealthy versus uncomfortable, healing and growing.
Exactly. And that discomfort sometimes is just there to, like, a tap on the shoulder to say, hey.
Growth.
Exactly. I know that you work with crystals, and I know a lot of our listeners love to collect crystals and work with them. And you were talking about, I really love this, but what if something happens to it? And I've bought crystals and dropped them on the floor. I've had one or two that just split in two. Some of them shatter. It just depends on what the situation is. And I remember the first time I broke a crystal, I cried. I thought I'd ruined it, and I thought I'd, I just, kind of like when you break a mirror, you think, oh, bad luck. I don't know. I just felt like, oh, this is just a terrible thing. What am I going to do? And I like to wear crystal bracelets that are on these elastic bands. And sometimes after years of using them, the band breaks. And then you've got all these little crystal beads. Well, I take the beads and I have a special little clear glass bottle that I put my beads in, and small gemstones. But I remember reading somewhere that if you break a crystal, the part that has broken off is a sign that you no longer need that crystal, or you no longer need the full crystal, because it's you've healed at that point, that whatever you were trying to accomplish has been done. And when you were talking about, what if I break it, what if I lose it, it's that way with anything in our life, whether it's a relationship, a new dress, a new pair of shoes, whatever. Everything has, like my dream of going to Spain, that dream broke at some point. I no longer needed it.
And sometimes it's time to move things on, and if we don't get the message, it will move itself on. You know, you hear about a lot of people with special jewelry, and they just happen to, they have no idea where it went. It's lost. I never lose things. Where did it go? You know, maybe it's if it's meant for you, it'll come back.
And yes.
You hear of that too. You know, 6 months later, there it is, my beautiful special necklace. Or, you know, you lose it somewhere at an event, and a stranger out of nowhere as you're pulling out of the driveway or out of the parking spot, hey, I think you lost this. They ran to find you. So maybe that's meant to be yours still. And so it's kind of following those signs, and much like you're describing in the relationship, romantic relationship, you came back to him when you were ready, and he was ready in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
took me 3 months.
And if it wasn't meant to be, you know, it really wouldn't have realigned. So, yeah,
exactly.
Again, things.
He either wouldn't have answered the phone, or he'd have just said, thank you for calling, I've moved on.
And we have to learn as humans in our human experience in these bodies, like start to see the patterns, see the signs. If someone is consistently not picking up the phone, you know, maybe this isn't the person. And that's just like a metaphor for anything else for life. You know, if you're going to an event somewhere and there's no parking, and you've got in a little accident along the way, or you're feeling stressed out, you know, then a bird just poops on your, all over your windshield wiper. All these things are happening. You know, maybe it's time to turn around and drive somewhere else.
Those are excellent examples of signs that something's not right. And if you go back to the beginning of feeling, you probably, before you started all this little journey, you probably had a gut feeling that said, don't go. But you didn't have any logical reason to not go. I've had those happen too. Victoria?
Yeah, we overlook that. Mm-hmm. We overlook those things.
You know, I have to say goodbye. I hate it. I'm going to ask you to come back on the show. This is so much fun catching up with you. I will send you some dates that I've got open. I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay. Oh, I said it's been nice having tea with you, virtual tea.
It has. I'm shocked your baby hasn't said, I need mama.
Well, I believe it or not, I have to go too. That could be why. It's time.
This was amazing. I look forward to when we can do it again. I'll check my calendar, see what's open, and I will invite you back.
I would love it. Thank you, Mary. It's been a pleasure, and I hope that you have a very sunny day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Transformational Tuesday with intuitive healer, Lisa Nicole. Wrong button. I apologize, folks. I've done, it was a manifest exit. Wow. Much more sedate. Thank you for listening today. Remember to come back every Monday at 11 a.m. for another manifest lesson. The second and fourth Mondays, I am live, and my guests always have something interesting to share. Be sure to follow Be Unique Radio on Blog Talk Radio or your favorite platform, and check out all our other Manifest Monday shows. If you have questions, want me to guide you on your manifest journey, or would like a transcript of this show, just reach out to me through BeUnique.org or email me at ManifestMondayShow@gmail.com. Until then, stay present, stay positive, and always remain grateful. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton. Thank you for joining us today.